Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Early in our text, it says Pharisees from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem had come to Capernaum to sit. They had come to check out this Jesus that they had heard about, who had been healing and teaching things that were a bit different than that what they thought was to be right. They gathered very soon, and they were asking, questioning the authority here of Jesus. His authority to forgive sin, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But we see that they were quickly silenced by the miraculous healing of the paralytic. And Luke says, amazement seized them all. Not probably speaking of the Pharisees, but the crowd there. And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." We might ask, who can heal but God alone? Then after the call of Levi, the Pharisees questioned the disciples about their teacher's association with the most hated men of their society. It says the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" The Pharisees were a group of people who thought that God had directed them to be the spiritual watchmen of Israel. They dictated how people should live, what they should do, how far they ought to walk, when and what they should eat, and even how they should wash their hands. The publicans, on the other hand, or tax collectors, worked for the Romans. This fact made them lower than the lowest. They had bought the right to collect taxes from the people, and then they shook down their brothers. They were despised as the vilest of the vile. In some people's minds, no one can put their past behind them. But Jesus meets the sinners where they are and calls them to follow him. He called one of them in our text to be his disciple. In Luke 5, Jesus demonstrates clearly why he had come. It wasn't for the fine dinner, but it was to save people. It was to make new out of old. He had come to call sinners like Matthew, like you, and like me to life eternal. His goal was and is the salvation of the world. As he said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus came because of the mercy of God, and he clearly shows in the forgiving of the paralytic and his subsequent healing that he is a merciful soul. The Son came for the salvation of the world, to save that which is lost, and that's why you're here. You come because through the word and sacraments, God still brings sinners to himself. His supper is no fellowship meal, mere fellowship meal. It is not the meal for the perfect people living perfect lives, but God invites sinners to dine with him, sinners like you and like me, and he invites us to his holy supper and feeds us with his gracious body and blood, the bread of life, to provide forgiveness of sins to us. So what do we learn from Luke 5? The Pharisees, Jesus, the paralytic, the disciples, and the crowd. The people of the church can at times be like the Pharisees. We're often tempted to look down upon the people who haven't been living the most upstanding lives. But God's grace, his undeserved love, is indeed available for everyone, even those that we might consider to be the worst of sinners. Forgiveness is available even for those who seek to destroy peace and bring conflict to our shores, and yes, even to our church. Christ would even welcome these to follow him in repentance, leaving their sin behind. He proclaims that God's peace, his forgiveness is available. Who are we to withhold his love from those who need it? The example of Jesus was that of one who was open to all, even to those who might be considered to be traitors. That's a difficult teaching perhaps for us, but it is true. God's love was shown in the life of Jesus. It was demonstrated clearly in the Word. Jesus gave of himself for you. He sat down with the tax collectors, and he has given himself for every other man, woman, and child, shed his blood for the sins of all, the adulterer, the teacher, the policeman, the doctor, the lawyer, the student, the pastor, the farmer, even the murderer. God's mercy knows no bounds. Forgiveness is here, and it is available now, and his resurrection guarantees it to us. And he calls sinners to follow him in repentance, leaving their sin behind, washing away the old, and putting on the new life in Christ. All this is the new wine that cannot be contained in those old wineskins, an earth-shattering change that Christ did it for all of us. As his people, we trust in his forgiveness. And as his people, we now lead holy and merciful, forgiving lives. That is sometimes difficult, for it turns us into people that do things that are contrary to the ways of the world. The ways of the world being anger, revenge, paying back evil for evil. But Christ came for the evil sinners, for the worst of them. He came to them and ate with them and invited them to fellowship with him. And so we come. The Pharisees criticized him, looked down upon the sinners. They considered themselves to be better than any. And they thought that God would love them because of their good works. But we know that our works merit nothing. Rather, they are done in response to what God has done for us. Our Lord desires his people to be agents of mercy. Indeed, the Pharisees were anything but merciful. They lived lives that were lived for their own selves. And Jesus called upon them to have hearts that were filled with mercy. As St. Matthew records this himself, this moment where he says, "Go and learn what this means," recording Jesus. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Pharisees who imagined themselves righteous before God had failed to worship God. They had refused mercy to sinners, and they were trying to keep Jesus from having mercy. They were excluding themselves from his gracious forgiveness. But to Matthew, to you, to me, he said, "Follow me." We follow him as we leave our sins behind here at his table where he serves us. We follow him as we bring his forgiveness in word and sacrament to the world that does not know him. And we follow him living in his grace, his mercy, and his peace. For he did not reject the tax collectors and sinners. He will not reject you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.